All right, get your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us tonight. And dear Holy Spirit, would you control our minds as we preach? Would you allow us to put the cares of this life aside and allow you to teach us the word of God tonight through the preaching? In a very special way, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The sermon I have tonight is not complicated, but it's very practical. I think if you'll listen to me, I can help you. I am not, by far, the busiest man in the world. But I live a pretty heavy schedule. That's not a fat joke either. I average about 80, 85 hours a week here at the church. And I've been doing that or more for over 25 years of my life. While I was in college, I took anywhere from 17 to 22 hours of class every semester for 4 years. I worked 40 hours a week. I drove an hour each way to and from work. I was a Bible club leader. I had two different Bible clubs that I oversaw, a junior high and a high school club I built. I was a bus captain. I taught D Sunday school, worked in D teen church. I was busy. I didn't let any moss grow under the wheels, amen? I'm not a person that requires much sleep. The older I get, I require a little bit more. If I can get 5 hours of sleep a night, I'm doing really, really, really good nowadays. It used to be about 3 to 4. I'm up to about 5, 5 and a half, amen? So I'm improving. Maybe by the time I'm Brother Hawkins' age, I can sleep 6 or 7 hours. But that's a long ways away. So I have worked for some of the busiest men that I know. I worked for many years under the ministry of Dr. Jack Hiles. The world's largest Sunday school. We average 22, 24,000 every week of the world. I know Sundays that we had over 40,000 people on the property of the church, okay, in one Sunday. That's not including Sunday night service. That's just all the Sunday morning-ish services. Some ran into the afternoon. That's just on the main church property. I remember one program, we had 5 Sundays in a row where we were over 40,000 all 5 Sundays. We've had big days where we did things off the property on Sunday as well as on the property and had over 80,000 people that we reached in one day. 4 or 5 times having over 5,000 people saved and 3,000 baptized in one day. We had 2 grade schools, 2 junior highs, 2 high schools, a college running over 2,000 students. Brother Hiles oversaw all of them, $70 million worth of property, 100-acre campus for the college, and $44 million budget every year. Brother Hiles was a busy man, plus he traveled almost every week of the year. I've been around busy men. I've worked with Brother Owens for all those years. Don't have to go into it, those of you that know him. He's a lazy guy, all right? So, I'm just teasing. But, yeah, strike that one off the tape. Amen, Brother Brett? But I'm not afraid of it. But let me tell you this. I've worked for some very busy men. There are men in this church who are busy. There are men in this church who probably carry a heavier load as far as busyness, maybe even than I. Evan Barnes may be one of the hardest working men I know. I mean that. Brother Barnes is just one of those guys. He just grits it out all the time. You take men like Gus Collin. That's another hard working man. Now, don't get offended if I don't mention you, just so you know, all right? He's just constantly working. We've got retired men that work harder than some people that work full-time jobs. You take Gordon Taylor and Brother Ecker and my dad. Good night. Those three guys could work any five women in the ground. I love it. But it's just amazing to me. I'll tell you another young man I'm proud of, and that's Donnie. That's a hardworking young man. I thought of Brother Jimmy Shade. Brother Jimmy owns his own company. He drives truck, and he puts up with Erica. And all those things. Jimmy's a hard-working man. Brother Rich Stoltz, Brother Mark Rogers, he oversees a big business here, and Brother Rick Hess and others. Shoot, most of our women could work most men in the world in the ground. I have no doubt about that. Leslie Rogers could work two men in the world in the ground in a heartbeat. She just that way. I wouldn't want to mess with Mrs. Brining. Good night. She's past retirement. Well, no, she hasn't passed retirement age. Brother Brining has. She hasn't. But she works harder as a retired person than most people do that's not retired. Can I tell you something? I in no way consider myself the busiest person here. But I can say that I know how to handle an aggressive schedule for a long time. I probably oversee more different types of things than anybody here. I just have a lot of things going on all the time. And I don't mean that in a bragging way, but I do know this. I do accomplish a lot in a lot of different areas. Now, there's a lot that gets undone because there's a lot to do. But if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. It is frustrating to busy people to see work that is not completed. It really is. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to busy people to see work that's not at least in the process of getting completed. They just see progress. They know somebody's on it. It's okay. But if there's no progress, it can drive a busy person screwy. Is that a good word? Y'all just kind of looking at me like, what do you mean? it frustrates busy people to see people that could sit down, lie down, or fall asleep beside work that needs done. I don't know about you. I just can't do that. I know people that they could fall down in the middle of work, take a nap for 4 hours, and be totally happy. Not me. Just not there. Busy people who have many areas of life that are busy cannot just live by the seat of the britches. You can't just fly by the seat of your pants if you're busy in a lot of areas. A great man once told me that if you fly by the seat of your britches, eventually the seat of your britches wears awful thin. There's a lot of truth to that. Now, I'm going to confess a sin. I used to be a good procrastinator. Quit shaking your head up and down, Mom. I didn't need you saying amen like that. Good night. I used to be so immature that I said I needed that pressure of a deadline to help me get the work done. Hello. I am now so busy, I can't afford to procrastinate. If I procrastinate now, I drown. Some of you better be glad I don't procrastinate. You wouldn't have a sermon to listen to. You see, no one likes working for a procrastinator. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever work for a boss that was a total procrastinator? Those guys aren't worth the powder to blow them off the face of the earth. They really aren't. And I'll tell you who gets more frustrated with a procrastinator boss is the person that's procrastinating. Hello. Man, I'm having fun up here tonight. Now, let me show you how to do a lot and not drown. Let me show you how to do a lot and not get so driven up the wall that what's not done doesn't kill you. Okay? Those are for your obsessive compulsive type people. Amen? I've learned from experience. I've learned from an aggressive schedule. I've learned from men and ladies far busier than me how to do some of these things. By the way, did you know you can be happy and be busy? Some of you that get busy, nobody wants to be around you when you're busy. You're as mean as a bear robbed of her whelps. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Get out of my way. I gotta get. We can all get there. But you know that you can be busy and be happy while you're busy? Some of you fly by the seat of your britches so much that there's not much of the britches left. And you're wondering why everybody's laughing at you. Well, I'm going to show you. You've been showing everybody where you've been sliding. Let me show you what I've learned. It's a very simple outline. You won't have to write it down. I think I can help you. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," watch this, "but this one thing I do." This one thing I do. Now, first point of the outline, this one thing I do. Too many of you are trying to do too many things all at the same time and aren't accomplishing anything. I watch people get frustrated trying to do too many things all at the same time. That means you shouldn't text and drive. That means you shouldn't be doing all these other things, reading books, putting on your makeup, fixing your hair, doing all those things while you're driving. That's why things don't get done right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm on an island all by myself tonight. Few things in my life get done all at one time, though. When you live with your life spread so thin as mine, I rarely get to sit down and finish any one thing from start to finish all in one setting. If I'm not careful, that would drive me nuts. If you sat in the office for one day, some of you would say, "How in the world do you get anything done?" Because it's this one thing I do. This one thing I do. I have many different files in my office. Many. I work out of files constantly. There's times I'll sit down with Mrs. Barnes and say, "Put this in this file, put this in this file, put this in this file, put this in this file." We'll sit down, and you won't believe this, but I schedule when I work what I'm supposed to work on. I know when, just this last Thursday, we had a planning meeting for the Christmas ladies meeting coming up on December 6th. It's the first week of September, or second week of September. I am planning the ladies' meeting. Guess what? It's about 95-98% planned. Say, when did you schedule that? It was scheduled before the last ladies' meeting was done. Before the meeting, she pulled out the file. I said, "Can you pull out my ladies' meeting file so I can run through it? I've been throwing ideas in there. I don't think about them unless I see one. Then I have her throw it in the file." Pulled it out. Had it. Here we go. Say, what is that? Because I had an hour scheduled where we were going to work on the planning of the ladies' meeting. We pulled it out. All along, I'd gathered ideas and just started throwing in there. Then when it was time for us to plan that, this one thing I do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I work on sermons that way. I have a sermon file right now. I have two sermon files right now that are about that full, no lie, of sermon ideas. There's probably 200 or 300 sermons in idea form. I've got about 30 or 40 that I'm constantly working on. Say why? This one thing I do. I preach a lot of sermons. It takes a lot of study time, and it takes... I don't sit down, copy my sermons out of somebody's book, come here, and read it to you. I don't get my sermon outlines off the internet. My outlines wouldn't be that weak. My outlines might not be the easiest for you to follow, but the thoughts are, I calculate an awful lot of what I say. You see, I set a time to work on all my work, and then I only work on it at those times. It took me 2 weeks to get wood for the winter. I still don't have it all, but I'm close. Say, when did you do it? I set aside Labor Day to really start. Actually, I got a jump on it on the Friday or the Saturday before. I got a load or two before then. And then hit it real hard on Labor Day. I had another day set aside. And then I planned another evening to split it and stack it. And I got it done. This one thing I do. What was it? Wood. Say why? Because it sure does cut the heat bill down for about 6-7 months around here. And it helps my family out an awful lot. And it was worth the extra time. Now listen to me very carefully. You need to plan your work and set an amount of time for you to work on it. Period. Ladies, some of you try to do too much all at one time. Some of you let your house go and it gets dirty because you get frustrated trying to clean it all at one time. Maybe if you'd only clean a fourth of it one day, a fourth of it the next day, a fourth of it the next day, and a fourth of it the next day. You say, yeah, but then I'm cleaning 3 or 4 days. Okay, I'd rather you clean 3 or 4 days and everything's clean than to give up because you tried to clean it in one day and the next day it's all dirty again. Because there's nothing more frustrating than cleaning, because as soon as you clean it, it gets dirty again. That's why you don't have to worry about making the bed. Just jump back in it. Why make it? You're going to mess it up in a few hours, amen? I'm teasing. That's not true. But can I tell you something? Some of you get so frustrated because you don't schedule what you do when you do it. That's why you've got piles of laundry higher than your basement ceiling. You didn't schedule it. Some of you ought to do a load a day. Some of you need to do about 10 a day just to catch up. But once you get caught up, then if you do one load this day, one load that day, one load this day, one load that day. Young people, listen to me. I know something about school. I either have been in school or taught in school from the age of 5 or 4 until about 2 years ago. So for about 42 years, I was involved in education. Okay, you think graduating from high school is long. I spent 42 years in school. I know something about school. One of my boys called me recently. He said, Dad, I got this, 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 and this. I said, good. How you got it broke down? He said, well, if I read this many pages every day, and I get this amount of reports done every so often, I can get it done. I said, that's how you do it. I had it down to how many pages every day I needed to read in college to get through all my outside reading and to make it through the semester. If I, one semester, I had 7,000 pages of reading to do in one semester. I won't tell you who the teacher was, amen, Brother Hawkins, but I had him for 3 classes and I was ready to choke him. Unreal. I mean, I read and read. Some of you have not read 7,000 pages in your life, let alone having to read it for college, all right? But I had to read it in one semester. Man, I had it worked out to where I was reading, like 70 pages a day. It was ungodly, but I got through it. Say why? And I didn't let myself get behind, because going from 70 to 140, man, that is miserable. You don't sleep at all. And I couldn't afford to let it die down or I was in trouble. Yep. Some of you just need to work on one thing at a time. My life is segmented like a file cabinet. And I choose how much time I spend on each file and when I work on it. That is honestly how I think. My office is structured to where I know where the files are. You say, why? I got files behind my desk. I got files in the bottom right drawer. I got files in the in her office. She's got certain files, certain places. I've got sermon files. I've got files in two different briefcases that I use. Hey, I got files everywhere. You say, why? Because I think in segments like that. And when it's time to work on that segment, I give it everything I have. But guess what? When it's not time to work on that segment, I don't even think about it. I don't mean this in a crude way, but my grandmother, we're not going to have her long. Do you know that I've been gathering information to do her funeral for about 12 years? I pulled out the file recently. Say why? I have a time on my calendar right now to start working to put it all together. Say why? Because the day's coming. And I don't know about you, I plan on being able to cry and have the emotions I need when she goes to heaven and not have to worry about putting a sermon together while I'm feeling those emotions. So I'm going to get it gathered first and be done so that I'm ready for it. Say, well, how are you going to do that? I've been gathering information for about a dozen years. Guess what? That's how you make it through a lot of different projects all at one time. You do one thing at a time. By the way, you're not going to get them all done. You know what? When I take my wife out or my wife and daughter out, a lot of times Monday afternoons we'll go out to eat and spend a little bit of time together, my date time with my girls. Can I tell you something? I'm not pastor then. There's been times some of you have called me or texted me and I didn't answer you for a couple hours because I was out with my wife and or my daughter. Say why? Because I'm not preacher then. I'm dad or husband or both. Say, I don't think that should be. Okay, it might not be. If it was an emergency, you would have let me know. And it'll be there when I get done because I'm being dad or husband. Amen. This one thing I do. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
okay. By the way, some of you set your deadlines too close to when it needs to be done. Can I tell you how you fix that problem of flying by the seat of your britches or your skirt, depending on what gender you are? You fix it by, if your deadline is to be October 26th, you set your deadline for it to be done 2 weeks in advance. 2 weeks? Yeah, that gives you 2 weeks to make up for your procrastination. You know, I don't mean this the wrong way. About 95% of my work is done for the ladies' meeting coming up in December. I don't have to think about it anymore. Man, am I happy. Check that one off my list. Then I'll just answer questions as they come up. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to check up on it. Say why? Because I did my planning, had it all scheduled, had it all ready. It's done. Guess what? I'll know a week in advance who's doing what, everything. I have certain things in place to where I've got to have the decoration schedule. I've got to have a layout for it. All those kind of things. The room reservations, all those kind of things need done. And guess what? It comes in. I approve it. Go on. I don't have to think about it again. That's how you get a lot of things done in many different areas of life. Does that make sense to everybody? Good. Number two, this one day I live. Some of you, this point, you need to listen to very closely. Do you know I have learned to live today? You know, the Bible says, oops, I didn't turn this on. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't say yesterday was the day the Lord hath made. It says this is the day. Do you know that you can't live yesterday again? Did you know that you can't change what happened yesterday? Did you know you can't live tomorrow today? Now, you can plan for tomorrow, but some of you are trying to live tomorrow today. And some of you are stuck in yesterday and are not living today. Some of you are grieving over what you did not get done yesterday instead of living today. Do you know, I don't have any regrets over what happened yesterday. Say, did you get everything done? I never get everything done. But I got done what I scheduled to do. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, if you live the best you can, you'll have no regrets. If you'll live today the best you can, tomorrow you won't regret today. Did you catch that? Some of you are still regretting what happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and you're still in mourning over it, and you're cheating today, which will hurt tomorrow. Can I tell you something? Live today. Enjoy today. Live each day at its fullest. Well, I'm just afraid of what might happen. You cannot plan the unknown. You cannot do it. Don't miss today in anticipation for what might happen tomorrow. Some of you live in this imaginary world called what if. Some of you live in this fear-filled world of what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. Shut up and live today. Excuse me. Close your mouth and live today. Folks, some of you live in such a fairy world of what if that you are missing today. Your kids are the age they are. Enjoy them today. I'm really enjoying them, especially now that they're out of the house. I'm teasing. Do you know what? I have no regrets. None. None. You see, live today and get the most out of today. Did you find today's blessings? Or are you regretting that you missed yesterday's and you're regretting it today and you're missing today's so that tomorrow will be like today is today? Huh. Did you find today's work? Did you accomplish what God wanted you to do today? Did you find today's person you were supposed to help? Well, I remember what I should have done a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, you're living yesterday and it's not helping today. Live today. Live the blessings with your family today. Have you enjoyed the blessings of your family today? Back about February or March, I had to put my puppy dog down. We'd had him for 6-7 years, but he got sick and wasn't going to get better, and I had to put my dog down. My girls were not happy. I said, look, when it's time, we'll get another one. Well, a couple weeks ago, I finally broke down, and I found a guy over in Eastern Virginia on the other side of D.C., and we all talked about it for months. Say why? I was stalling. Man, we had a wedding to go to in Florida. I didn't want to have a new dog to deal with while we were gone, and then some other things came up, and I just needed time to get, not, I wasn't in mourning, it was a dog, all right? I finally, a couple weeks ago, I surprised my wife and my daughter. We talked about what kind of dog we wanted. We're getting a little beagle. Well, I found a guy that's got them, and they were just born. I mean, they were 2 weeks old 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks old. My daughter, it was like we had another child on the way. They have been going shopping every week on a certain day to go shopping to buy more things for the puppy. She's gone through more names for that stupid dog. Finally, got her settled on one that I agreed with, not the one she wanted, but the one I wanted. Say, you're mean. She's leaving. I got to live with the stupid thing. We're excited about it. I even went online and got a video of beagle puppies to show my wife and my daughter. You say, why? I went and bought a stupid book that had a video with it so they could learn how to train the stupid thing. Say why? Because I'm not sitting up with it all night long. They are. Wait a minute. It'll listen to me. I promise you. I don't have any trouble in the world. Yeah, get over here, mutt. Oh, Daddy. You know, I'm going to have to spend a week or two sleeping in the basement with the puppy. No, you're not. I said, shut the door, let it cry. I don't care. Oh, yeah. I'm having fun with this thing. She's in the nursery right now, probably mad as a hornet at me. Oh, wait a minute. Am I going to enjoy the dog? Yes. I'm going to teach it to hunt. Amen. That dog's going to love blood, bones. It's going to be a man's dog. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You know what? I'll enjoy that time. We've enjoyed the time anticipating it. Good night. Get a crate for the stupid thing. You know, they want $60 for those stupid things. I found one at a garage sale for $5. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. My daughter got almost all the supplies with the money I saved just on that stupid crate. I was happy, thinking I ain't spending that much money on no stupid puppy dog. You say, why? I don't give a rip. Put a rope around its neck. We don't need a leash or a collar. Jerk that thing. Put a double knot on it. You pull yourself too hard, you're going to choke yourself. Amen. You say, you wouldn't do that. Yes, I would. I didn't, but I would. I did draw the line, no clothes for the stupid dog. Amen. You ain't putting no clothes on no dog. Well, it's going to get cold out. God clothed it. They've been living for thousands of years without clothes. This one's going to live without clothes. But Daddy, I don't give a rip. You can say, but Daddy, all you want. There ain't no clothes going on that dog. You know what? We've enjoyed looking forward to it, talking about it, looking at videos. Oh, ain't it cute? Yeah, it's a dog. Now, wait a minute. This one day, I live. Number three, this one step I take. This one step I take. Some of you are trying to run a sprint when you ought to slow down and walk. Some of you men need to slow down and walk with your wife rather than grabbing her by the arm and jerking her and pulling her along. Some of you need to slow down and take time to enjoy each and every step of life. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, don't rush the washing machine. You know, if you skip cycles in the washing machine, it's not good. Say, how do you know? Shut up. You know, you ought to learn to enjoy each and every stage and step of your life. I enjoyed being a kid. I still do. But I enjoyed being a kid. You know, I enjoyed being a teenager. Did you know that I enjoyed being a college student? Do you know I enjoyed being a young married man? You know, I enjoyed being a young parent. Do you know I enjoyed rearing my kids through those stages? And I'm enjoying middle age. I'm not looking forward to this grandpa thing. But I'm sure by the time it gets here, I'll be okay with it. Say, what are you going to do? I can't change it. Might as well grab a hold of it and enjoy it. Yeah. Yep. Folks, some of you are dreading each and every stage of your life so much that you are missing what you have available to you. Yes, you really are. enjoy each and every experience that life holds. Now, I don't miss some stages of life. Casey, I don't miss college, amen. There's not one part of college I miss. I would never go back and do that again for all the money in the world. But I enjoyed it while I was there. I'll inflict the pain on somebody else, but I ain't going back and doing that again. Some of you have young children. Enjoy them. But can I tell you something? They're fun when they grow up. If you do it right when they're small, they're fun when they get older. Kind of like a puppy. If you train it right, you can have fun with it. I think. For instance, I'm not looking forward to being a senior citizen yet. You say, why? I got enough life to live before I get there. But you can enjoy your senior citizen years. For instance, my wife and I were talking this week. I had another revelation from God. I'm going to meet with you senior citizens before too long. Now, I'm going to drop the age level for what I'm about to do, but here before too long, we're going to plan a trip for everybody 55 and older, and we're going to take a couple days and get away. Say why? We're going to go have fun. Say why? I think it's a thing to do. You know, old people can have fun too. There might be snow on the roof, but that doesn't mean you can't still have fun under the roof. Amen? Now, Brother Mike, you need to get a little snow up there. It's just slick bold up there. It's ice. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that you can enjoy your senior years? You know, as you face difficulties, face them one step at a time. Some of you want to know the end of the issue before the beginning. Some of you are facing difficulties with your health. And you're all freaked out over that you don't know what the end is. Well, enjoy this step of it. You can't change it. Just do this step of it. Some of you are facing difficulties maybe even with your parents as they get older. Can I tell you something? Just enjoy each step. You know, I thank God each day I still have my mama and my daddy and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. Say why? Because I know people my age that don't have their parents. I'm going to enjoy each and every step of it. My dad and I went hunting last year. He got a deer. And then he left town the day after he got the deer and made me take care of it all. He's enjoying life. I wasn't enjoying it as much as he was at that point in time. And then I got my deer that's hanging on the wall. You say, what'd you do? I had to call the farmer to help me because Dad was already on his way to Florida. But you know what? I enjoyed being out with my dad. I really did. I remembered hunting with my grandfather till he was very elderly. He was probably pushing 80 the last time he went out hunting. 80 what? 85? I couldn't remember. I knew he was getting up there, but he went hunting when he was 85. Now, he was in the beginning of Alzheimer's. Did you ever hunt with somebody in the woods that had Alzheimer's? They didn't know where they were, and they just got up and kept walking. This is not a good thing. Man, we were trying to help Grandpa. Man, a couple of us shot deer, and he came up and told us how he shot that deer. I'm thinking, that's okay if you think that, Grandpa. You know what? I still remember that. Who cares? Who cares? That's a sweet memory now. Folks, can I tell you something? Take life one step at a time. Some of you with little kids are hoping you get through that stage, you know, that you're not beating them every half hour on the half hour. You'll get there, but enjoy the beatings now, because one day you'll wish you could have beat them again. When they're big enough to beat back, that's when you're in trouble, amen? Can I tell you something? You know, don't worry about finishing a job. Worry about making it through the next step. If I allowed myself, some of the work around here could drive me insane. I know the molding is not done in the offices. I've known it's not done since before you knew it wasn't done. Do you know what? It's being made. The striping got done this week. I knew it was going to be done before we ever put the paint, before we ever put the walls up. I knew what we were doing. But you know what? We got through stage one. We got it built. Then we got primer, got it mud and tape. Then we got it primered. Then we got color on it. Then we got lights moved. And then we got the stripe put on. Hey, we're making progress. One step at a time. And guess what? Nobody's been freaked out, stressed out, and going up the walls because it's not done. You know what? I'd rather have no molding in the foyer in my office right now and have visitors in church every week than to have everything pristine and nobody visiting our church. I think priorities ought to be reaching people, not the paint and the woodwork. Everybody doing okay? This one thing I do, this one day I live, this one step I take. Some of you need to set your goals a little smaller. Some of you just need to be satisfied with accomplishing some today. And tomorrow, work on the next step. And the next day, work on the next step. Now, some of you that don't do anything, just getting off the couch would be an accomplishment. Some of you just need to decide you're going to get busy and do something. Let me ask you a question. What goals do you have for God? I'm not asking you to read through your Bible once a month. But do you have a goal of reading it every day? This one thing I do. Some of you, oh, I can't pray. I can't get into a rhythm of prayer. Because you don't live one day at a time to pray today. Some of you pass by people God wants you to help because you're not living today. You're either living yesterday or tomorrow. And you're not living today. Man, what an important truth. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Again, I'm not the busiest person in the world. I live a pretty aggressive schedule. I accomplish a lot of things in many, many, many different areas of life. Can I tell you something? I just taught you how to do that from the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you are so concerned about getting everything done that you want to do that everybody around you can't stand being around you. Maybe what you ought to do is scale it back a little bit, put everything in perspective.